Kyle Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Chow.
Hello.
So, spring fungi, are they out there?
They are.
Okay.
And I just felt compelled. We need to talk about this. Maybe it's just me.
Larry Weber would agree with you.
Okay.
He loves fungi.
Yeah, I love them. Most springs, I see a lot of them when I'm out in the woods. But this year, that's been different. I've seen, just based on my experience, I've seen an unusual number of cup fungi already this year. And they are something that one would be likely to see of the fungi we have here that come out early. So they're not something you would expect to only see mid to late summer or fall or something. But it just doesn't seem like most springs I see a lot of them, but I have seen quite a few this year. And so if you're not familiar with the cup fungi, they are just what they sound like. They look like bowls, and they can be a variety of different sizes. Really common size would be like, think of the tip of your thumb. If you inverted the tip of your thumb, that size. And they're oftentimes very muted in their color, so they can blend in really easily. So granted, they can be easily overlooked. Most of them are, as I said, muted colors, so soft brown, different shades of soft brown. But there are some that are scarlet and orange in color. And on the inside, before they open, they still look kind of some kind of muted brown color. But as soon as they open up to show off this very brightly colored interior, which can easily catch your eye. And I've seen quite a number of both the all muted and these more brightly colored scarlet.
The show-offs.
The show-offs are, yeah, are even
so
out.
So what are they up to
out
with all that bright color?
Yeah, well, so like all fungi, they're mostly underground, right? And what we're seeing in the case of these cups is the fruiting body. And some have suggested that these pigments, they're called carotenoid pigments. So these are the same kinds of pigments that we see in our leaves that show up in the fall, even though they're there all the time, that they can absorb more sunlight, that they concentrate more warmth inside the cup, and that warmth, that extra heating, accelerates the development of the actual spores and the ripening of the spores, and so speeds up that whole process so that the spores are ready to be dispersed sooner. Many of these cup fungi, especially these really small ones, it seems like can live for many weeks, but they're very susceptible to drying from the sun, from the wind. So it could be advantageous to evolve over time to have something that would accelerate the time frame in which you could get your spores out there and available to move around. So that's one fungi I wanted to be sure to mention, because especially those orangish red ones are ones that people might be checking out. And they're usually around some kind of woody material, partially buried. Doesn't have to be a big log, could be just some, you know, small branch or stick that's on the ground or partially on the ground. And I've even seen them, I'm sure there's some wood there somewhere that they're associated with underground, but even just kind of coming up like wedged in between a couple of stones or something. Yeah. So looking down this time of year can not only be helpful in watching your step, but also in seeing fun things, including, and this for me has been a very rare experience here, morels. True morels this year. Oh, what a amazing thing to stumble on. Yeah, they're so unpredictable here. Mm-hmm. There are parts of our state where you can pretty reliably go out and expect to find morels and go to the same places and find morels. Have you been a morel?
My dad hunter? Was a big morel hunter where we lived in central Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I have only seen 3 morels up here, and it was in a fire pit. They were under a tarp, and there was some leftover wood there. So.
Oh, great. Yep. Well, that's a great complimentary story to my experience of seeing my first morel in Cook County. So I had seen them in other parts of the state. I now realize they're much more common. But my first experience of seeing one here was in the Boundary Waters, right under a fire grate at a campsite.
See? Yeah.
It brings us to one of the interesting aspects of the pretty mysterious morel, which really is kind of shocking because morels are so sought after.
Yes.
And that's not just a recent phenomenon. This is something that has great tradition, and not just here in Minnesota, but everywhere that they grow. They have all kinds of odd common names depending upon what part of the country you come from. And so there are a lot of cultural connections to the morels, you know, so a lot of interest. So it's kind of shocking that we know so little about their ecology. It's mostly very mysterious. There are a lot of apparent differences in how different species live in the world. Some are very symbiotic with trees. So this goes to the associations like you're talking about, of like people talk about elms, when they're, especially when we used to have elms more, that was a classic place. And so that's probably a good example of this more symbiotic relationship where the fungi and the tree are sharing resources of different kinds, but they're sharing. But then there are other species that appear to not be that at all, and to be much more single-minded in getting all the resources from whatever they're connected to, whether it's something living or some decaying organic material of some kind. So morels have a lot of different lifestyles, I guess would be one way to say it. And some, but not all species, do have this association with burned areas. What's that about? As far as I can tell from trying to look into it, nobody really knows or has figured out in some definitive way what it is about fires that people have speculated. Well, it's about all the dead wood that it creates, and or it's about the fact that a lot of the litter that might build up has been burned off, but not too much, because there appears to be a definite pattern of higher abundance or more likely emergence of morels after fires that are of kind of moderate intensity versus really severe fires. So a lot of questions there. I always go back to the same place where we live, because one time.
And you're hoping to find them again.
Yeah, and it hasn't happened. It's been over 10 years. And I've still not seen another morel in that area. But this year I was out in the field working, and we happened upon some morels. In a couple of different places, all on a south-facing slope. That's another thing you hear people say, oh, they like south-facing slopes. Yeah, so that was really exciting. I hope most people know what a morel looks like, but there are a lot of good descriptions. It's a very good-tasting mushroom, but there are mushrooms that look sort of similar. There are something called false morels. They're easy to identify if you know what they're supposed to look like. It's not easy to be fooled if you know what to look for. So would I just send everybody out to look for morels? No. But if that's what gets you out into the spring enjoying it, then by all means,
go morel hunting.
Go morel hunting, and the best of luck to you.
Oh, Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us about spring fungi.
You're welcome.